And so today is a special day because several people that mean a lot to us as a church are going to graduate Thursday. Yeah, they're going to get them a diploma. That all that means is you got a hard life. No, I'm kidding. It means you've accomplished 12 years of education. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. So we're going to take this opportunity because let me just break it down for you. It don't get anything but worse from this point forward as far as schedule. Next Sunday's Mother's Day. Hallelujah. Mother's Day's a big day here at Bethel, and I'm so looking forward to it. And then the next day's homecoming. That's right. And then after that, all of you people leave for 2.5 months on vacation. And I'm just kidding. Thank you for laughing. And please don't do that. With that said, take your 2 or 3 weeks vacation, but be faithful to the Lord's house. But watch this. That's just the reality of it. You need some time away. The pastor's going to do that as well. But with that said, VBS is coming. Camp is coming. Some wonderful, serious opportunities to share and spread the gospel and influence this community for the kingdom of God. Important stuff. Really. So today, we're going to take this breath before all of that busyness happens, and we're going to concentrate with hopefully some wisdom to our graduates. Now watch this. You know how this goes. Everyone in here will benefit, can benefit, should benefit from this wisdom as well. But we're going to focus in like a laser beam on them. Now, I better get to my notes here. This is going to be a long sermon. First of all, I want to say this. All of our young people are special to us. Amen, church? All of our young people are special to us. Many other classes have been, quote unquote, as good as these. But these folks and guys' excellence deserves recognition as those did in the past. We had Dean Isgriggs as a graduate from college in first service. I got to get to my notes here. And so today we're going to recognize at the end of service. I'm frantically, I'm almost there. And if you're here and you're not on this list, we're going to recognize you as well. Mandy Dulworth, Clay Bandeman, Rachel Licklider, Zach Males, Dominic Obi, Megan Henson. Is there anybody else that we missed? You're graduating high school or college? I see a hand back there. Jacob Orman, college. Awesome. Let's give all of them a hand. Let's give all of them a hand. So, Brother Jacob, when we call the others, would you please come to at the end of service? We have a gift for you, and we're going to pray over you guys today. I think that's extremely appropriate. So, with that said, this is a message straight to you. Again, we're going to invite everybody to listen in. I believe you all will be benefited by this wisdom. Of course, it comes from the Word of God. Let's stand for Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 28 through 31. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered them, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to share with you something that I did not catch until I was well past high school. Jesus has sandwiched the Ten Commandments in these two commandments. Jesus was very clear. I have not come to abolish the Old Testament. I have come to fulfill the Old Testament. And so what he did is, big word here, he reiterated, which means he just restated the Ten Commandments in these two commandments. The first four of the Ten Commandments are referring to your relationship to God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So on and so forth. Those first four commandments are how you should relate to God. And then the other six, The other six are in relation to how you should treat each other. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Folks, you all want to live next to someone that lives by those commandments. You do. And you should be that type of person to the people that you're neighbors to. And so Jesus summed these 10 commandments into two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Give it all. Give it all for God. He is your everything. He is. The book of Job, God is enough. He lost everything. God is enough. We think we have troubles. You haven't lost everything. God is enough. And then love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to lie to them. Fill in those blanks. And so he summed up the Ten Commandments with those two commandments. I want to share with you these thoughts. Challenge first. Graduates and everybody in here, please go to BethelLonedale.com later this week when it's just you, me, through the audio, and the Holy Spirit. And listen to this message again, pen in hand with paper, and allow the Holy Spirit to evaluate how are you doing with each one of these points. So we're going to dive in because time is short. Advice number one, and yes, these are good things to follow even if you're not just starting out. Number one, a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ that is real and vibrant. Now, I know that for all of these kids, Clay has a drug problem. He's been drugged to church ever since he's a kid. Rachel has a drug problem. She's been drugged. And I could say that about every kid that I read off that list. They've been, you know, you're going to church. I don't want to, Mama. I don't care. Get in the car. Am I right? Can I get a witness? Yeah. These kids have been drugged to church. I had the same problem, Clay. It's what we do on Sunday, folks. We go to church. And can I tell you, adults, that's still a good practice. It really is. It is a good practice. But watch this. Be careful. Don't amen what I'm fixing to say. Going to church isn't enough. It's just not. Church, I want to tell you, you and I both have seen examples, and we're not shooting at anybody here. But we've all seen examples of families that have taken their kids to church, but the opportunity that those kids got to make their own decisions, they're no longer around. And please hear me, adults. It is absolutely possible for you to do everything biblically right, and they still make a choice not to be a part of the Lord's house. That's possible. Amen, church? Because they got a brain. And they've got free will, and they can make their own decisions when they get to that age. But watch this. As a parent, if you're going to do everything that the Word of God asks you to do to raise them up into the nurture and admonition of God's Word, that is more than just we go to church. You also pray at home. You also talk about Bible subjects at home. You also talk about the gospel at home. They catch you sharing the gospel out and about. You help them learn how to put on the armor. You talk to them about your spiritual gift, about their spiritual gift. You teach them what forgiveness is all about. You show them, you model it when your neighbor hacks you off. You forgive them. That's right. You don't have fried preacher at lunch after on Sunday. That's right. You, and I know I just ruined some of your meal plans. You live it. And church, When you live it, you pass it a lot of times. A lot of times. My mom and dad did not just take me to church. They also taught me how to pray. They taught me how to deal with tough issues. They loved me through some tough issues. They applied God's word to their lives. Anytime God told Daddy to go, we packed up and we went. We trusted God. Dad never had another church lined up before he resigned the one he had. And he never missed a paycheck. God took care of Dwayne Harvey Kingston. And as a result, he took care of Betty, Tony, Barry, and Ben. And I saw that. So young people, a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ is more than just being saved. It is living saved. Every day. Every day. My life is about Jesus. That's what it's about. And that is the most important thing I can tell you today. Number two, a surrender to his body that is preeminent. You notice I didn't say the word church. Because the church is a body. A preeminent. It comes first. The body of Christ comes first. You're going to skip some things to be faithful and loyal to his body. It's just the truth. And we need to raise our young people to be that way. But watch this. It's not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday as well. You are the body at work. You're the body at BP. You're the body at, again, fill in the blank. It's a surrender. You know what commitment is, right? Lord, I'll give you 2 hours on Sunday morning, an hour on Sunday night, and an hour on Wednesday night. That's commitment. Surrender is, what do you want me to do today, Lord? Surrender is, Lord, I'm your puppet. You do with me what you want. And church, listen to me. Can I tell you the first time I heard that, it made me fighting mad. Nobody's going to make a puppet out of me. So who are you going to be a puppet to? You going to be a puppet to yourself? It ain't going to work. You going to be a puppet to the government? I don't hear any takers. You're going to be a puppet to fame. You're going to be a puppet to finances. You're going to be a puppet to your career. You're going to be a puppet to your family. I mean, Phil, the only person, church, worthy to be the puppet master of you is the creator of heaven and earth. That is who is willing, able to be the puppet master. And church, when you and I get okay with that, when we surrender to that, when we say, oh, Lord, I'm not worthy. Empty myself of me, fill me with you, and use me for your glory. You're going to see amazing things happen in you and in your life. Surrender to his body that is preeminent. Number three, humility. Nobody likes to talk about this. But do you know what else nobody likes to be around? A know-it-all and a be-it-all and a do-it-all. We had a guy, and I apologize. He was from Missouri. But we had a kid in college that me and my roommate, we couldn't outlie. It didn't matter. I caught a 5-pound bass. I caught a 6-pound bass. I killed a nice deer. I killed a 10-point buck. So one day, me and my roommate decided we're gonna top him. We're going to ask the Lord for about an hour's worth of forgiveness to just lie through our teeth. And we're going to see if this guy can be beaten. And after an hour, me and Robert were wore out. It didn't matter if we had done this, he did this. It didn't matter if we knew somebody, he had an uncle that did this. And he walked out of the room the champion because he was willing to lie more than we were. And I'm going to tell you, that was my first taste of Missouri, and I didn't like you guys much then. But what God did was show me that, so what did you accomplish? Nothing. We probably made him mad and we made ourselves mad because we still hadn't beaten him. So How are we going to operate with this guy? Are we going to keep trying to outdo him? Or are we just going to humble and say, you the man, you are the man, and move on? Church, you're going to have to get to that point with the people in your life. You're going to have to be okay with not being as great as he or she is. Because all of you, as great as you are going to run into people that are better than you. Whether with their mouth, pride, or truly better. Watch this. You got a guy on your team in basketball that's better than you, throw him the ball. Humility. I can't do it. Come on. Win for us. You know, run for us, run, whatever. Sorry, that just came to me. Pop culture reference. Remember, you are the worst person to take advice from. Humility. Do not follow your heart, church. Follow your God and the God that created your heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Have a clear understanding of criticism and the vital role that it plays in your life. No one is an island to themselves. We need other people. And we do not always get to choose the instruments of maturity and growth that God uses in our lives. So here we go. Graduates, are you ready? Criticism 101. Try not to defend yourself. Listen. And if there is any shred of truth, take it as a blessing that you have an accurate evaluation of yourself that you could not provide. Reject the rejection. Invite criticism. Have at least one person that you know can go, that you can go to, and they will tell you the brutal truth. Folks, you need at least one person that will tell you if you've got a booger on your nose. You do. You need at least one person that will tell you if your fly is open. You do. Church, listen to me. I've never been blessed by walking out of a public event, and it's happened a few times, and get in the car, and there is something ugly going on my face. Or business has not been taken care of downstairs. You know, there's wind, there's a draft. And I realize, Lord, help me. Now listen, church, as a pastor, you understand, I was professionally taught in college. I don't ever get up here that I haven't done this already. And if I don't feel metal, I turn around. And I go in here and I take care of business. That's a professional courtesy I do for you. So that you don't have to do this. Lord, help him. Lord, give him, give somebody in this church that loves this guy enough to say, X, Y, Z. That's what we used to say in the house. There were four males in the house. My mother, it was just her three, X, Y, Z, X, Y, Z. Examine your zipper. That's what it means. And so watch this. Church, listen to me. Have at least one person. I've lost y'all. Yeah, focus up here. You're afraid what you might see. I get it. Have at least one person that loves you enough to tell you the brutal truth. I've said this before. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. Gavin Hooks is one of those men for me. The deacons are some of those men for me. I ask them, am I thinking straight here? Is this safe? Is this okay? There's safety in a multitude of counselors. Number four, know your enemies. Church, we pray regularly, and we should, that God would help us and protect us. And graduates, here you go. From the onslaught of the devil, the deceitfulness of your flesh, and the confirmation of the world. Those are your three enemies that you battle every day. Number five, know the word. This is your daily bread, the Bible says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is your navigation tool through life. This is Jesus on paper. Number six, know God's call upon your life. Who are you as a son of God? You are a child of the King, a royal blue blood, an heir to the throne, Ephesians chapter 1. How are you a son or daughter of God? By the finished work of Jesus Christ, you have been adopted as a son or daughter. Why are you a son or daughter of Jesus Christ? Because God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but of everlasting life. What are you as a son or daughter of God? An ambassador to the world. The Great Commission is your commission. I know that each one of you can and do share the gospel. Every one of these young people that I named their name, Craig and Brad and others, have taken them to Dare to Share for the last 10 or 12 years. These kids could stand up right now and they could share the gospel to a lost person. And I know they have. Folks, there's not much more important than that. We need to know, we need to have confidence that we can share the gospel. Lastly, do you know that at a moment's notice and anywhere that you may find yourself, that you can get in touch with God and receive what you need from Him? Graduates, please hear me. If you don't know that at a moment's notice, whatever situation that you're in, that if you need to, you can get in touch with God and you can receive from Him what you need, I need you and I to set up an appointment. Because we need to make sure you're ready for that. Because you never know when you're going to find yourself in that position. Sitting roughly where Joyce was sitting at Temple Baptist Church, and I get that dreaded, someone poked her head around, looked at me and went. And I stupidly got up and went. And when I assessed the situation, I should have said, this is way above my pay grade, ma'am. We're going to wait until Pastor Jolly can tell. But I'm the associate. I'm the youth pastor. I sat down and I listened. And I made a very poor choice. After listening to this person's accusations against that person, and that person wasn't present, I accepted their word as gospel, and I pronounced judgment. And the next day, I was in my pastor's office, and he said, Brother Ben, you erred, and you erred greatly. I need you to learn from this. I said, yes, sir. You're right, Brother Jerry. Because I want to ask you guys a question. Would any of you want to be that other fellow that wasn't there and couldn't answer the accusations against you? And all you find out later was that Brother Ben agreed that you were wrong. I took this person's word for gospel. I wasn't there. I don't know. I learned a big lesson. And ever since then, in my counsel, I tell people, there's two sides to every story. Amen, church? And there's a little bit of wrong and a little bit of right on both sides, usually. The truth is somewhere in the middle. And as a counselor, it's my job to encourage both sides to do better. Can you imagine I was just a little discouraged after that? You have got to know, graduates, that at moment's notice, anywhere that you may find yourself, that you can get in touch with God and receive what you need from Him. David encouraged himself in the Lord when he was about to be stoned. You need to be able to do the same thing. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you clothed in the armor? Are you aware of your spiritual gift? Are you serving Christ with that gift clothed in the armor, filled by the Spirit? Musicians, will you come? Will you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. To the body here, I want to share with you, at one point in time in the last 18 years, every one of these students have heard everything that I just shared. These guys have been to every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, with the exception of sickness and vacation, for the last 18 years of their life. And I didn't share this because I thought that this will be the first time they heard it. I shared these things because I do believe these are the building blocks that help and allow all of us to do what God has called us to do. So young people, I'm not showing any doubt in you. I know and believe what is inside of you. And I know that through the Holy Spirit, you will help either us or some local church reach their community with the gospel of Christ. And that is really all we can ask for. Lord, you know what's going on in this service. If there's someone here that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, we pray that they'll be saved, for it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we ask it. Amen. Will you come? We'll not tarry. Have at least one verse. Will you come?